Lord Jesus Christ, you did tore the veil and you made a way. Lord, we cannot begin to comprehend what you've done for us at the cross. We cannot begin to appreciate your shed blood and the redemption of our souls. Lord God, you gave all for us. We are eternally grateful for you, Lord. Because of what you've done, we now can be connected with our God through the Spirit. We praise you, we worship you, we bless you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's first reading is from the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, starting with the first verse. In this particular section, the Pharisees are quite defensive about the rules of the Sabbath, many of which have been added on to the rules to which God laid down for the Sabbath. The opportunity for a discussion of disagreement takes place. It is something, an opportunity we ourselves have these days. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One of those that was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I do not have one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath? The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See? You are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. The second reading, in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. And while Jeff had requested we go to just verse 38, I need the other 3 verses for next week, so I'm going to read the entire chapter. He may not touch those, but keep those in mind next week because they're important for me. As he went along, he saw a man from birth, a blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming in the world, and I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva. He put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same guy who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was not. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash in Siloam, and I washed. So I went and I washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made mud and opened the man's eyes was on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was you, your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and he received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that is why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as far as this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listened to godly men who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he had found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You are now seeing him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This ends the reading.
We have the children come forward. Come on up. How are you all doing today? Did you hear all those long readings? They were pretty long, weren't they? Guess what? Neither one of them has anything to do with what the sermon's about. Now, I will probably be referring to them, but I want to talk to you about something else today. I want to tell you a story about a story in the Bible. Now, I say about because although I'm going to read it later on, I'm going to tell you my version of the story. So this is Mr. Grossman's version of the story in the Bible, and the story is the story of the talents, okay? So one day, there was a man. He was very wealthy. He was very rich. He was very wise. He was very powerful. And this man owned lots of properties and lots of houses and businesses and buildings, and he had many servants. And he was big, and he was powerful, and he was kind, and he was a compassionate man. And he would give things to other people, and he would help people as they needed. And a lot of people loved him because of his compassion. However, some people didn't love him at all. In fact, some people hated the man because he was so rich and so powerful and so wise. And they resented him, and they were jealous of him. And they actually wanted what he had. And some of them actually wanted to kill the man and take everything he had. Well, one day, the man had decided he had to go on a long journey. So he was going to go on a journey, and he called all of his servants together. Now, all of his servants knew the master very well. In fact, the master had taught the servants so many things while they were servants of his, and most of the servants loved him for that because he had given them things. He took care of them. He provided for them, and he taught them certain talents and skills that they all had. And he called all his servants together, and he said, "Guys, I'm going on a long, long, long journey, and I don't know when I'm going to be coming back. It's going to be a long time, though, that much I know. And in fact, most of you will probably live out most of your lives before I return. Some of you might even die before I return." But he said, "I have given you the ability to take care of yourself," to all the servants. And he said, "If you take what I have taught you and you use that information, you'll be okay. And you'll be able to provide for your families." But then he selected three servants out of all the many. And he said to those three servants, "I want you to watch over to my properties." So the first thing he did is he went out and he took a servant, and he wanted to give this servant five talents. So a talent is some money. So he took five from whatever thing he has, and he pulled it out, and he put it in front of this man, and he said, "Here, I give to you five talents, and you can use these talents to provide for your needs, but I also want you to manage my talents and manage my property so when I return, I have a return on my investment that I gave to you." And the man loved the master, and he said, "Yes, master, I'll do that." So this man took his talents with him, and he was obedient to what the master had said. So then to the second man, he said to that servant, he said, "Look, I give to you two talents." And he said to him, "You too, I want you to manage my property." So he went to this man and he gave him two talents. And he said, "Use these talents. You can use them to live on and to take care of yourself, but I want you to manage them well. And when I return, I'll have a return on my investment." So the man with the two talents took the two talents from his master. Now there was a third servant. To the third servant, he gave one talent. He just gave him one, and he said, "I want you to manage this well and use the knowledge I gave you, and you can live on this, but I want you to manage this well so when I return, I have a return on my investment." And then the master left, and he went away. So now the first servant, he came and he took the five talents and he said, "What am I going to do with these five talents the master gave me?" He said, "Well, the master did more than give me five talents. He taught me a skill. You see, this man was a carpenter and he can build things with his hands, and the master taught him how to do that." So he took his talents and he went to the marketplace, and in the marketplace, he went and he bought a building, and he called it the Blessed Master's Carpentry and House Building Shop. And he started a business. And he started to go into the market, and he started to trade, and he started to make money, and he started to build things, and he would sell them. And when he sold them to other people, these other people would give him some talents. And they would take those talents, and they would get the stuff that he made from them. So he would take those things from them. Well, then a strange thing happened. The guy got bigger, and he got busier and busier. So he had to hire more people to work for him. So now things were going pretty good, and he was hiring more people, and he had all these talents. And then one day, something happened. One day, the government came in, and the government said, "Hey, you're a rich guy. You need to pay us some taxes." So they took from this man three of the talents, and they said, "We're going to charge you taxes." And the government said, "Look, you owe us this." And the man said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." So the man wrote a letter to his master, who was in a faraway land, and he said, "What about this?" And the master wrote a letter back, and he said, "There is no government or authority is instituted other than what I have instituted. Pay your taxes and render unto Caesar that is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's." So the man paid his taxes. And then as he was walking away, the government said, "Wait a minute, you got to pay for your ACH. And the guy said, "I don't even know what ACH is." He said, "Well, that's your affordable health care." So they came to him and they took another one of his talents away from him. And they took that away and they said, "There, now you have your affordable health care." Well, time went on, and the man kept buying, and he kept selling, and life was going on, and things were going pretty good, but then all of a sudden, things got a little bit more difficult, and he's trying to figure out how to make ends meet, and in the middle of it, things started to get kind of slow, and he didn't know quite what to do about that, because his business was slowing down, and now he had employees. So this man had a friend. The friend was also one of the servants of the master. And the friend said, "Hey, look, when I work for the master taught me all kinds of wisdom, and he had me write it down. And I wrote this book, a book of Proverbs. I tell you what, I didn't know what to do with it, so I made a copy of it." And he took this book of Proverbs, and he gave it to the man with the five talents. And he said, "Read this. This will help you." So the man started to do that, and his business started to get better. But even though the business got better, other things happened in life. His employees had needs, and although it was hard for him to do, he remembered the master had compassion and mercy and grace on people. So even though he really couldn't do it, he increased his employees' wages so they can make enough money to pay for their families and take care of things. And he himself lived without, so he could do this. And then he went out into the community, and he looked around, and he said, "I see a lot of people in need." And he found out that people were hungry, so he started taking what he had, and he started giving away to the people in need as they needed it. So they had stuff to eat, and they had things that they could buy things with, and he just started giving it away. And he knew that the master might want him to do this, but he also wasn't sure because this was the master's stuff, and he gave it away. So I'll get back to you too. Hold tight. So he did that. And then he went on for a very long time, but he was alone. He was kind of lonely, and he tried to do his best. And sometimes people argued with him about what he built, that it was no good. And you guys can sit back down. Sometimes they wouldn't pay him everything he was due. And the master wrote letters and said, "Where it's up to you, do your best to live at peace with everybody." And so he did. And sometimes he even took less for what he did. And then he waited and he longed to see his master again. So that was the guy with the five talents. So time went on and he waited for the master to come. Now, the man with two talents, he also had a skill. The master had taught him how to be an auto repair mechanic. So he went to town and he took some of the talents he had and he bought an auto repair shop. And he started fixing cars and trucks for people. And that was pretty good and he was doing okay. And then But he was a little bit alone sometimes, and he was a little bit lonely too. And one day, a girl came in who had a truck needed to be fixed. And she was also a servant of the master, and they got to talking. And she said, you know, when I work for the master, he taught me all about songs and poetry and things that really help you when things are tough. They help you get by lonely times. So she started sharing the book of Psalms with this man, and the two started reading them together. And you know what? They fell in love, and they got married. Yeah, I know. They got married, and they had kids, and they were going on. But this man, too, as he's going on, he would sell his work, and he would get paid, and people would pay him money so he could pay for his wife and his children. But at the same time, the government came back and said, wait a minute, you owe us some taxes. So they would pull some taxes back from him. And even though it was hard to pay, he thought, well, I guess I have to. And then, of course, he had to pay for his ACH, too. So he had to pay for his affordable health care. So that went in there. And they took some money away from him. And life was kind of tough. Well, this man and this woman lived for many years. And finally, they were able to build a house. It was the house of their dreams. And they went out in the country, and they picked a property, and they contracted with the guy who had the Blessed Master's Carpentry and House Building Shop. And he built them this new house, and they were really happy. And while they were building the house and working with this servant who had the 5 talents, they became friends. So one night, they came over, and they had dinner together, and they started talking. And he started talking about how difficult it was to make ends meet running his auto repair business. And the man said, with the 5 talents, said, hey, one of my friends gave me this book of Proverbs. And he started sharing the book of Proverbs with the guy with the auto repair business, and things started going better because he put those into play. And likewise, they shared the book of Psalms with the man who had the 5 talents because he was kind of lonely, and he started doing better. And so life went on, and they were doing pretty good. And then one day, the man came down, and his wife at night was putting lamps in every window of the house, putting lamps everywhere. And he says, what are you doing? And she said, I want to put lights in our windows because we live in the country, and it's so dark here. I'm afraid that if the master comes, he won't know where we live. So she put these lights in the windows so the master would be able to find them in the darkness. And the light in that house was bright, and it shone through the whole community. And that's what they did, and they lived many years. And they were happy, and they were content. Well, then there's the guy who had the 1 talent. He looked at this 1 talent, and he thought, this isn't fair. I'm as good as those other guys. Why did he get 5? Why did he get 2? I get 1 measly talent. Are you kidding me? That master, all these years, yeah, he had me working in the mines, digging gold, digging silver. See, this guy knew how to get things out of the ground. That's the skill that the master taught him. And he said, that's not fair. That's just not fair. And so he took this talent, and he said, that master, he is so old. He's probably never going to return. In fact, I don't even know if he's alive anymore. He's so old, he's been around like forever. So I don't know. I'm not going to worry about him. And this is mine. I earned this. This talent belongs to me. And so he went out and he took some of the money he had and he bought shovels and he bought equipment so he can begin to open mines. And he began to dig gold and silver out of the ground. And he did very well. And he became very rich. And then he bought oil pumps, and he pumped oil out of the ground. He became richer and richer and richer, and he became more powerful. And all this time, everybody in the community looked at him and thought, wow, this guy has a lot of money. But he wasn't very nice. He cheated people out of their wages. And when he saw people who were hungry and needed things, he said, you know what? You don't work hard enough. You're not as smart as I am. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. And he never told anybody that he got the talent from the master. And he didn't like the master. And he wanted to take the master and just pretend he didn't exist. So this went on for quite a while. And then you know what happened? His mines ran out. No more gold or silver were coming out of his mines, and the oil pumps ran dry. No more oil was coming out of the ground. And he had felt before that he deserved so much. He borrowed all kinds of money, and he had this big, huge mansion he lived in. And all of a sudden, he couldn't pay his bills, and people started taking away everything he had. And he thought, that's not fair. If the master would have given me more than one talent, I wouldn't be in this problem. It's just not fair. So we know what he did? He took the stuff he had, and he started hiding it. And he sold it, and he kept it so nobody could see it. And then he was able to get one talent. And he took that talent, and he went out in the woods on the edge of the master's forest, and he dug a hole, and he stuck it in the ground, and he buried it so nobody would know he had it, and nobody could see his talent. Well, one night, in the middle, the middle of the night, there's a knock on the door for the guy who had the two talents. Him and his wife were in bed. There's a pounding on the door, and they got up in the middle of the night, and they opened the door, and you know who was there? The master. He had returned. And they said, Master, you've come back. I'm so glad to see you. It's been so long. I'm glad you're able to find us. And he said, able to find you. You have lights burning in every window. I could see you for miles and miles out there. The light in this house is so bright. I have no problem finding you. He said, I'm so glad to see you. And then he turned to the man and said, I gave you two talents. Tell me how you've done. He said, well, Master, I did the best I could, and I tried to live right by everybody, but it was tough, and you know, I had to pay these taxes, but I knew you wanted me to do it, so I did. And then there's this thing called affordable health care, and I haven't been paying that close attention. I don't know how much is left. Let's check. So the man who had been given two talents went in, and he started counting. He goes, well, I got the two. Then he said, what's going on here? And he found out. He says, I got four talents. Master, look. Look, there's four talents. This is unbelievable. I don't know how that happened. And the master laughed. He said, don't you understand? I was in the middle of everything you did. And yes, you have four talents. But I knew you would. And bless you. I'm so proud of you. Come into your rest. And so the man and his wife went away into the rest that was prepared to him by the master. And then he said, where's the man who had five talents? And he said, oh, he's up on the edge of town and he lives on top of his carpentry shop. So it was just getting to be daybreak and he showed up and the guy said, Master, I've been waiting for you so long. I'm glad you're here. And he said, it's so good to see you. And the master said, how did you do with the money I gave you in our investments? And he said, Master, it was really hard. I don't know. Every time I turned around, it seemed like people were taking money away from me. But I tried to live right the way you wanted me to. And I tried to do everything you wanted. But let's see what's left here. So he started counting them. And he got one, two, three, four. There's the five, six. I counted wrong. I'm in the wrong bag. That's why it's not there. Almost. Over here. Sorry. Well, he starts counting out, and there are 10 talents. There are 10 talents sitting there. And the man said, how did this even happen? I can't believe this happened. I don't know where all this money came from. And the master said, I was in the middle of everything you did, and I am so proud of you. And the man said, Master, you this doubled. And the man said, actually, it did more. Because when you gave away to other people as they needed, I multiplied that as well. It's actually 100-fold. And he opened the book of life, and he showed them all the people who were helped by what he did. And he was overwhelmed, and he went, and he lived in the joy of his master. Then he said to the man, where's the man who had the one talent? He said, well, we're not quite sure. He's kind of hiding from everybody. We think he's over by the edge of your forest. So the master went in the forest, and he found the man sleeping on top of a pile of dirt. And he said, what are you doing there? And the man woke up and he was shocked. And he was scared because now the master was here. And he said, Master, I didn't really think you were ever going to return. And now you're here. And the master said, yes, I gave you one talent. What have you done with it? And the man was scared because he knew he hasn't done what he should have done. So he made up a story. He made up a lie. He said, well, Master, I knew you were a hard man, and I didn't want to lose what you gave me, so I buried your talent in the ground. Here, you have your talent back. And the master said, you wicked servant, you're lying to me. You didn't bury that because you were trying to keep it for me. You buried it because you didn't want anybody to know you knew me, and you didn't want anybody to take it away from you. Depart from me, you wicked man. You should have at least put it on interest with the banks. And the man says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, well, even if you would have given away to other people, I could have at least worked through them where your heart was so cold. And so the master took this man, and he sent him away into darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it was a cold and a lonely place. So that's the story of the talents. And I want you to remember this. Life is not always going to be easy. It's going to be tough, but when Jesus is in the middle of it, you will always be okay. You don't have to be afraid of anything, and life will be exciting and awesome. But without Jesus, life is cold and dark and lonely, and it's not a good place to be at all. So who did not get a... Okay. You? All right. That's all right. You can have another one. Here you go. Here you go. By the way, these are 100 grand bars. Everybody get one? So I want you to figure out why they're 100 grand bars. Maybe you can listen to the big people's sermon. We'll try and figure that out. You need one? Okay. You want one too. Okay, well, I'm out now. You don't want one. Okay, you guys can go sit down. Thank you. It always works better in theory. Okay, let me clean this up a little bit. All right. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord Jesus, I just ask for your blessing upon this time and your anointing, Lord. Be present and move, I pray, in your name. Amen. The parable of the talents. To be honest with you, I never liked this parable at all. I always thought it was kind of boring, to be honest. And I really didn't get it. I didn't understand the one talent, the guy who had one talent. I didn't understand why when God returned and he gave him back his talent, at least he didn't lose it. I would love to have what I had invested in like 1999 before everything crashed. I would love to go back there and not have lost that. I'm going, Lord, at least you got it back. What's the big deal of the talent? I mean, the end of this, and he cast the worthless servant into outer darkness in a place where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The parable of the talents. It says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned. He came and he settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I made 5 talents more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And also he who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. He who had also received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scatter no seed. You should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received it, which was my own, with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Back in May, my grandson George got baptized. And we went to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church. Tom Wink was preaching on the parable of the talents. I thought, oh, great, here comes another boring sermon. That was my attitude going in there. Here comes a boring sermon, parable of the talents. So the service started. We got into the sermon, and my grandson Sam ended up on my lap, and I was kind of struggling with him. And Pastor Wink was preaching, and Pastor Wink taught me something. He taught me what a talent was. I never realized. A talent is a biblical unit. It was used in biblical days. It was a unit of measurement, okay? And it was a unit of weight. And it weighed about 75 pounds. Now, in the book of 2 Samuel 12:30, David, after defeating the Amorite king, took his crown and said it weighed a talent. He put a 75-pound crown on his head. And in the book of Revelation, it says that in 16, verse 21, that God will send down ice balls from heaven, hail, and those ice balls from heaven will weigh about a talent. They said they're about 100 pounds. Can you imagine a 100-pound ball of ice free-falling from heaven pounding into the earth? No wonder so much of the earth will be destroyed by that plague. So a talent is a unit of measurement, but more specifically, it was used in the biblical days to measure all silver and gold. And in most likely this case, the talent was 75 pounds of gold. Think about that. Do you know what 75 pounds of gold is worth today? $1.3 million. One talent, 75 pounds of gold, is worth $1.3 million. That's overwhelming to me. Where I am in my life, I cannot imagine $1.3 million. I could not imagine somebody coming to me, I have my job, I have my career, we have our house, our family, our home. I could not imagine somebody coming to me saying, Jeff, here's $1.3 million, tax-free. $1.3 million. You can use this. I want you to manage it. But here's $1.3 million for you to use. Wow. I got to tell you, if that happened to me, my life would not be the same. That would be a game changer. If somebody came to me and gave me $1.3 million, my life would be different. It would never be the same. So I'm pondering this. And while I'm pondering this, I'm struggling with my grandson because we had walked out of the church because he wanted to get a bubbler drink. And you're welcome. He wanted to get a bubbler drink, so I had to take him out there. And now we're coming back, and he was kind of messing around, and I didn't want to disturb the service. So I'm standing in the narthex with a glass window outside of the church, trying to listen to Pastor Wink, holding my grandson in what I call the church hold, trying to contain him while the sermon's going on. I'm trying to listen, and I'm trying to listen to him, and he's looking around at anything and everything. And Pastor Wink started talking about how when God gives you resources, you need to put them to work. And Sam, out of the blue, says, you need to put it to work. And I was startled. And I looked at him and I go, you mean when God gives us things we need to put in the work? He says, yeah, where are all the workers? And I thought, wow, Sam's getting more out of this maybe than I am. So then immediately he wants to get down and get into the donuts and everything else. He was gone somewhere else. And Pastor Wink is going on and talking more about putting to use, and God gives you talents as well, and you need to use those talents. You need to hone them and refine them. And out of the blue, Sam goes, use it or lose it. And I'm going, wow, Lord, this is amazing. So the sermon went on, and Pastor Wink gave a good word. He gave a good message. But I got to tell you something. As the sermon went on, the Holy Spirit moved in my heart a different direction. He started really showing me what the talent was. See, I think $1.3 million is a lot. It's a game changer. You know what the talent is? Look at our opening worship. The foot of the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for our sin. He had renewed the way. He had made a way. He tore the veil. He brought us back in relationship with God. That is a game changer. My life will never be the same because Jesus Christ gave his life for me on the cross. My life is not the same. I have my eternal salvation. And I have more than that. I don't have to fear anything in this world. I can live without fear. What am I going to be afraid of? What are you going to do? Take my job? God will give me another one. What are you going to take from me? You going to take more taxes? God will provide. You going to make me pay for health care? Okay. God is God. There is nothing. It'll be a struggle. And that's what I wanted to do with the children's sermon. Don't think that the 5 became 10 easy. Doesn't work that way. But God is faithful. Do you ever get through situations in your life when you're going, my kids are grown. We paid for college. We had weddings. And honestly, we don't know how it happened. We don't know how we got here. That's God. God provides where we have no idea of how it's going to work out. God comes through all the time. It's a game changer. You know what the big deal was with the guy who had the one talent when he buried it in the ground? That is why I made the reference, the first reading that Steve read about the crippled man healed at the pool. What a response. This guy was crippled for, what did it say, 38 years, 37 years? He's crippled. He's begging. He had no life to say. Jesus comes up to him and asks him a simple question. Do you want to be healed? Yes or no? His answer, oh, it can't happen. Life isn't fair. Every time I try and get in the water, these guys are trampling over me. Nobody's letting me get in there. I've been dealt a raw deal. And Jesus, I never asked you that. Do you want to be healed or not? Yes or no? While the guy was still complaining about everything that was wrong in his life, God, in his mercy and his grace, came into this man's life and he heals him. He heals him. And then Jesus slips away. And the guy's healed. How would you respond if you had been crippled for 37 years and God healed you? Wouldn't you be a little bit overwhelmed going, I don't believe it, I can walk, not this guy. Right away they said, who healed you? Well, I don't know. It wasn't my fault. I was just laying here doing my begging thing, and this guy came along and he healed me. I never asked him to do it. It's not my fault. Don't throw me out of the temple because of Jesus. Later on, Jesus finds him. He says, you better be careful. Something worse can happen to you. There are worse things than being crippled. And what does the guy do? How does he respond to that? He goes and finds the Pharisees, and he sells Jesus out. And the scripture says that from that point, they started to try and kill Jesus. This guy sold him out. This happened once before in the Old Testament. Anybody remember who Doeg the Edomite is? Doeg was a servant of Saul. He was in the home of Ahimelech, the priest, and the priests of Nob. David was running from Saul, and he goes to Ahimelech, the priest, and inquired of the Lord, number one, and then he ate the bread of the presence, and then he got the sword of Goliath. And then David and his men leave. Doeg was there. He goes running to Saul, and he says, Saul, this priest helped David. He helped your enemy. And you know what Saul did? He went to the town of Nob, and he had Doeg strike down and kill Elimelech and his family and all the priests. And on that day, 85 persons who wore the linen ephod were killed. And also the city of Nob, the city of priests, he put to the sword, both men and women, child and infant, ox, donkey, sheep, he put to sword. Doeg. David's response to Doeg in Psalm 52, you love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Doeg sold these priests out. This crippled guy who was healed sold out Jesus. He had no love for God. All he cared about is he didn't want to get kicked out of the temple. That is like burying the grace and the mercy and the love of God given to you into the ground. That is putting it in the ground, and you are not. It is something that it's bearing Jesus Christ all over again. Think of it that way. Jesus Christ died on the cross. You won't even tell anybody about it? No, I don't want anybody to know. They're killing Christians. They're persecuting them. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. It's not good for my career. Bearing Jesus in the ground. The master said to the man, you should at least put it on deposit with interest. And I'm thinking, Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean as a Christian to put the salvation I have on deposit with interest? Now keep in mind, this is the bare minimum. This is the very least that is expected of a Christian. At least you can do is let other people know what's been done. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. This guy barely, who put it on deposit with interest, this baby Christian who had not lived their life accordingly to what God gave, he barely makes it into heaven. He escapes through the fire. That is something where God is asking us to grow up, but we don't want to. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, you need not milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. This guy doesn't want to grow up. He's still saved, but he doesn't want to grow up. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3, but brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Still saved, but nobody would know. Nobody would know the difference. No, this man took the talent that God gave him. He took the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ and he buried it in the ground. And in doing so, he trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and he outraged the Spirit of grace. That is what happens when we deny the power of Christ in our life. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, people. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Hebrews 10:26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but fearful expectation of judgment and the fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. This man buried the talent in the ground and God sent him to hell for it. Don't whitewash that. The man went to hell. Hebrews 10:31, it is indeed fearful to fall into the hands of the living God. The man with the one talent. But then there's a man with the two talents and the man with the five talents. You see, one talent is more than enough. It's more than I can possibly comprehend. It's my salvation. I don't have to live in fear. The blood of Christ have redeemed me from all my unrighteousness. But there's more. God's given you more than one talent. He's given you two. And what is the two? It says, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He has empowered you to live in this world. He has empowered you for ministry and for gifts of the Spirit. The one gift that everybody has and is available to him in Isaiah 11, 2-3, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Godly wisdom to live through these times, to live through these circumstances. This man with two talents, you and I, we have received gifts that we can live in this world. Now, I may have only received two. Some of you received five. God has poured so many gifts into you. And the Lord will open his treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and bless the work of your hands. Everything you do, God will be in the middle of it. Even when it looks like a mess, even when you don't get it, even when there's no way this is going to work out, you need no fear because God is in the middle of it and God owns everything and he can do everything. Twice, 2-4, 5-10. Yet it's even more than that. Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left the house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. I want you to think about the man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda, the man born blind. This man spent most of his life blind. 40 years. He's not getting them back. Okay? This man had to live as a blind beggar for 40 years of his life. Some people might be bitter about that. Even if they were healed, they might be bitter. My life is wasted. Why couldn't I have had this at the beginning? Why did I have to live so long in this state, in this condition? Not this man. This man is overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy and the love and the tenderness of God. He just can't believe what God has done for him. And they start asking him, who did it? He said, Jesus. But he wasn't selling him out. He was proclaiming a testimony. And they said, who do you think he is? He said, he's a prophet. And they said, he can't be. He's a sinner. And then he starts getting in the face of all the leaders and the spiritual people. And he's saying, oh, that's interesting. Really? He's a sinner. Well, let me teach you something. And he starts teaching them how Jesus could not have done this if he was not God, if he was not with God. And they throw him out. And he's like, yeah, but I get to see you with my eyes. Go ahead, throw me out. I don't care. I get to watch you do it. And Jesus finds him and he worships him. He falls on his face and he worships him. You don't think what this guy gave was blessed 100-fold? It's in the Bible. 2,015 years later, we're still reading about the testimony of the blind man. How many lives were touched because of the testimony of the blind man? How many lives were touched because this guy did live 40 years in darkness before Jesus came and opened his eyes? You open the book of life, there will be names written in there because of him. People who were born thousands of years after him. 100-fold. Now, we at Lamb of God are moving forward in ministry. And we have a mantra or a battle cry. Everybody has a call. Everyone has a place on the wall. God has gifted you. You have at least two talents. I'll tell you that right now. You got at least two. Most of you have more than that. Do you know what will happen if we are obedient and we step out in faith to the call God has put on our hearts? You don't think God can't change our families? You don't think God can't change our extended families and reach those people? I'll tell you this, if we all come together and we begin to do the work and the ministry that God has called us to, the town of Pewaukee will never be the same. It will be changed. Nor will the state of Wisconsin. How far do you want to go? Do you really think God can change Wisconsin through Lamb of God Lutheran Church? I had to catch myself in our last Thursday Bible study. I started making a statement. I don't know that this country can be saved anymore. I don't know that even if we take our stand, it'll make a difference. And the Spirit stopped me on the spot. That's not true. That's not the truth. God can do anything. It doesn't depend on me. All we're called to do is take a stand and be where God calls us to be. And God will move. Will He change Wisconsin? He might change the United States of America. How many people did Billy Graham touch? By what he did, one person touched a country, touched a world. Mother Teresa, one person touched the world. God will bless 100-fold, and He's given us all talents, more than one. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. I cannot begin to comprehend what You did at the cross. It literally is beyond my comprehension. Lord, my salvation isn't because I believed in You. No, You came to me before I believed. You saved me while I was yet a sinner. If it weren't for You, I'd never be able to believe in You in the first place. You have restored my relationship with the Father. You have forgiven my sin. And You have given me a spirit which is new and reborn, Lord. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to fear men. I don't have to fear circumstances. I don't have to fear death. Lord, we thank You and we love You and we glorify You. Have Your way in me. Have Your way in this church. Amen.